Welcome to the IAIABC's podcast, Accidentally. My name is Heather Laurie, and I'm the Executive Director of the International Association of Industrial Accident Boards and Commissions, or the IAIABC. Since 2015, Accidentally has discussed issues and events impacting workers' compensation systems, providing insights, and asking questions to encourage listeners to consider different perspectives on workers' compensation, or sometimes just life in general. Today's podcast is about service. The workers' compensation industry is really a service industry. The industry was started to serve workers and employers, to help first prevent workplace injuries, and then to support and assist workers after an injury occurred. Sometimes we lose track of this in the day-to-day of our work lives. The industry has changed so much, too, in its over 100-year history in the U.S. However, if we truly want this industry to continue to do its best for workers and employers, we cannot stray from building service into our daily work. I am joined today by three previous IAIABC Next Gen Award winners. These individuals have worked hard and risen through the ranks of their organizations or even started their own organization. All of them share at least one important quality, the belief in the importance of service. My first guest today is Alex O'Neill, co-founder and CEO of ArbiCare. Alex was a part of the IAIABC's most recent Next Gen Award class in 2022. Thanks for joining me, Alex.
Thanks, Heather. Happy to be here.
All right, Alex. So the name of this podcast is Accidentally, and a part of that name came from that many people accidentally get into the workers' compensation industry. It's not often intentional. So can you tell me a little bit about how you got your start in the workers' compensation industry?
Yeah, Heather, happy to. I share that same sentiment. I didn't seek out the workers' compensation industry. I don't even know if I knew there was an industry. I obviously knew about workers' compensation and how that works, but I didn't really think about the fact that there's an industry surrounding it. And a group of individuals that are really helping injured workers recover. And so I actually got into the industry back in 2010. I was able to join a small but hopefully growing company and got a great opportunity to really understand and help help with the devastating effects that the early understanding of the opioid epidemic was having, not only on injured workers, but people in the community and ultimately across the country. And so that was a great opportunity for me. And as I got in and learned more about what was going on, that really inspired me to continue and to push forward, and knew that this was a great place for me to be. At that point, it really began sort of the idea that we needed to really stop observing and trying to understand, because we had a pretty good idea of what was going on and some of the effects and really tragic overdoses and deaths and events that were happening with these individuals. It was time to stop observing those effects and really start helping individuals that were suffering. I think that as I look back on some of those early meetings and walking into rooms with individuals and in the payer industry, carriers, employers, TPAs, back in those days, interestingly enough, we would spend the first 15 or 20 minutes of those conversations actually trying to help convince people that there was an opioid issue in workers' compensation. And, many people became convinced pretty early on through those discussions. But as there was more spotlight around it and there were more of those conversations happening by 2013, 2014, we didn't even have to have those kinds of conversations anymore. We really started with, how do we solve for these problems? What can we do? How can we help people? And that ultimately, between that time period, that helped me understand that this is a great industry, and this is a place where I can be and not only help serve injured workers, but help these organizations who ultimately had direct interaction with these injured workers on a daily basis. And that was a signal to me that this was a great place to be. And, you know, you look 12, 13 years later, here I am.
Yeah, I went down a similar path myself, but I think you're absolutely right about the tremendous impact that we can have in this industry on people's lives. And certainly through the opioid epidemic and getting more people to realize just how terrible and devastating it was for people. So I think that's fantastic that, you know, that drove you to stay here in the workers' compensation industry, that impact that you could have. All right. Can you tell me, Alex, a little bit about ArbaCare and what its mission and vision are and how you live by those in your everyday work?
Yeah, absolutely happy to. So ArbaCare is a workers' compensation focused utilization management company. So if you think about when we talked about the opioid epidemic, you know, one of the things that surrounded that we were trying to help people understand is this concept of evidence-based medicine. And there are different guidelines that are peer reviewed that are kind of general consensus and understanding of medical literature about how you treat certain injuries and how you ultimately help people recover. And obviously, opioid therapy was not something that is recommended, certainly early on in the treatment of musculoskeletal injury. And so when we started thinking about evidence-based medicine, you know, ArbaCare, you know, wanted to help people understand that evidence-based medicine was something that should be understood and utilized broadly, not just for medication therapy, but all treatment that helps people recover. Mm-hmm. If you think about utilization management, you know, there's some jurisdictions that require it. There's others that have regulations, and there's some that don't recognize it at all. But our idea and concept is that if everybody followed evidence-based guidelines and really helped to go down that path, we would have people recover faster, return to the workplace, ultimately get to kind of the best level of recovery they can. And ultimately do that at generally a less expensive price and certainly avoid things like opioids and you know, tragic events like overdose and even death that affect community and families at large. That's what we really try to do on a daily basis. And I like how you talked about workers' compensation industry. It really is a service industry. And I think at the most fundamental level, ArbaCare is a service company. We are providing services that affect really everybody we interact with. Our clients are workers' compensation payers. However, those are not the only organizations and individuals we serve. We serve injured workers. Right. We serve treating physicians. We serve people that each of those individuals come into contact with and families and medical practices and everybody in the middle of those things. And so, you know, I'm proud of the culture that we've built here at ArbaCare and been able to maintain. And that when we bring on new individuals, you know, we ask them about, you know, the idea of service and we help them understand, what we're about and how we go along with, you know, helping people understand our culture and that if we improve clinical care, if we lead to our mission of improving clinical care, fostering great relationships and restoring lives post-injury, if we can live by that on a day-to-day basis, then we can actually help fulfill our mission to have more evidence-based care, help people recover, and ultimately do so through collaboration, less friction. Let's get together. Let's talk about it. How do we make these things happen? And I think that we observed sometimes in utilization management, it's not quite a focus. There may be managed care organizations that provide a number of different services. Our really strategic vision is based around the concept of focus. So all we do day in and day out is help ensure evidence-based guidelines are adhered to. and make recommendations about how that can ultimately occur. And if each person thinks about each daily interaction here that they have, whether it's with a client, whether it's with a physician, whether it's with one of our reviewing physicians or reviewing nurses or PAs, ultimately all the way down to the injured worker and the claims adjuster, if we can help make sure that we're serving those individuals, if we're helping to improve communication and make sure people know exactly what's going on, do you have an understanding of what evidence-based medicine is? Do you have an understanding of how this process works and how it exists? How can we connect to physicians on the phone to understand, hey, what's the difference here? What am I missing in these medical records or in this treatment plan that it might make this different from what evidence-based literature would say? You know, we train our physicians to go about those conversations and really use sort of the help me understand approach that leads to really good conversations. Mm-hmm. It oftentimes leads to information that wasn't written down that's critical for our physicians to say, you know what, this may not comply exactly with evidence-based guidelines, but this makes sense because of those reasons. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the injured worker is able to move forward with that care in a more expedited manner, hopefully to help them recover. So things that we do and that each of our team members do really come down to, are we serving the individual we're talking to? And we think that if we do that and if we live that on a day-to-day basis, we'll be okay as an organization and others will be okay as they go through these difficult events.
Alex, that's fantastic. I love how you talked about restoring lives and helping people recover. That's what this industry is really about. These are people's lives. They've been impacted by workplace injury. How can we come together, as you said, collaborate to help get them back to function, back to their lives? And I like how you talked about each interaction that you're having, you know, with different people who are involved in this process. It has an impact on that worker. Even if you're not talking to the worker, the conversation that you're having with the payer or with the provider has an impact on that worker. So thinking about those interactions and how they affect the worker. I really love that. And, you know, it's something that we at the IIBC are definitely trying to talk more about, that collaborative process and getting people back to function and back to work.
Yeah. And I would add, if you don't mind, Heather, that there's this increasing awareness amongst everybody in our industry, which is often referred to as sort of an advocacy approach, or are we helping to advocate for that injured person? And I think that that's great. And I think we're continuing to move in the right direction. Our very best partnerships from an employer perspective, and even, you know, as we have conversations with state agencies, really understand that. And when you align on that vision and we're able to do the things that we think are important, and they also, you know, want us to do those things that are important, then those outcomes really do exist. Not only from an analytics standpoint, but from just an individual standpoint where you're able to see it, you're able to hear it from different organizations that they appreciate that effort. And so as we continue to advance as an industry, we're hopeful to be able to do that even more.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I love it. All right, Alex. So the next question that I have for you, and you know, this is something you touched on a little bit in what you've been talking about, but can you share what it is about workers' compensation that makes it a compelling career option? And how would you sell the industry to potential new hires?
I feel like I do this all the time. Everybody answers the difficult question of what is it that you do for people in the workers' compensation industry? And that sometimes can be a little bit more of a loaded answer than they bargained for. So, you know, I've tried different things all the time. But what I try to focus on is our industry and quickly just kind of educate on what our industry is. And, you know, when I think about the workers' compensation industry, you think about a lot of the complexities. There's this highly fragmented system where each different state, each different jurisdiction has a completely unique set of rules. That's right. Incredibly challenging for payer organizations, for managed care organizations to kind of manage on a case by case basis. And when you apply that to, you know, organizations that are multi-state, that have a wide geographical footprint, they rely on us. They're looking for us to make sure that they're taken care of. And we take that as a great responsibility, and we get excited about that. So that's one piece. It's a part of a huge, just absolutely huge property and casualty insurance industry. So you start to connect property and casualty with the workers' compensation system and all these different state rules and regulations. And then on top of that, you throw healthcare into it, you know, and I think everybody in our country knows about the complexities of the healthcare system and a lot of improvements that could likely be made. That's a pretty interesting place to be. What that means to me is that we need intelligent, motivated, driven individuals who don't run away from challenge, but embrace challenge and often think about, hey, this is a place where I can grow. I can develop great relationships. I can develop personally and professionally. You know, what more could an individual be looking for than that? Like, you bring together all of these different, you know, industries that you would think about in and of itself. Well, we're combining all of that. And what does that equal? That equals workers' compensation. So if you're interested in kind of getting down a career path that has some complexity, but a lot of fun and a lot of really smart and talented individuals that can be mentors, then this is a place that you should strongly consider.
Absolutely. I agree with all of that. And I think, you know, people accidentally get into workers' compensation, but once they're in, they seem to stay for a really long time because of all those reasons I think that you mentioned. It is such an interesting and dynamic industry, and there's so much opportunity. So I never thought I'd be here in workers' compensation, but here I am, you know, 15 years later after I joined the IIBC.
And to bring it, you know, kind of full circle, you know, I'm here as well. I'm thankful I'm here. I'm thankful that our organization and the people who have joined us have been excited about joining us for those reasons. And the common denominator of all of these things, which I appreciate the most, is what you talked about at the outset of this. It's service. If we serve others, we can improve and we can constantly solve new problems. There'll never be a shortage of problems in this particular industry. So let's continue to serve. Let's move down that path and let's advance and let's solve those problems and make an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much, Alex, for joining me here today on the Accidentally podcast. It was great talking with you. And I look forward to seeing you and seeing more of ArbaCare out there doing good things and doing good service work with the industry.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Heather. It's always enjoyable talking to you, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Thanks so much. My guest today is Amanda Aponte, who is the Senior Vice President and CFO at SFM Mutual Insurance. Amanda won the IIBC Next Gen Award in 2017, our inaugural year. Welcome, Amanda. I'm glad to be talking with you today.
All right. Hello, Heather. Nice to be here.
All right, Amanda. So this is a question we're asking everyone. Can you tell me how you got your start in workers' compensation?
Yeah, I went to school for actuarial science. So I like to say that actuaries are the only profession in the insurance industry that lands there on purpose. So I did go into insurance on purpose. I took an internship with SFM, and SFM is a monoline workers' compensation carrier that writes primarily in the upper Midwest. And I've spent my entire career there. And along the way, I've held a lot of actuarial roles, but also analytics and risk management positions before landing in my current role as CFO.
Oh, that's great. That, like you said, not many people intentionally get into workers' compensation, but it is such a great industry. And there are so many different things that you can do, as you've done at SFM. So Amanda, can you talk to me a little bit about workers' compensation as a service industry and what that means to you in your everyday work life?
Yes. I work at SFM because I believe in our mission to keep workers safe. We recently updated our mission statement at SFM to show that we are inspiring safer workplaces by protecting workers from harm and helping the injured recover. You talked a little bit about that, Heather, earlier. And wow, that's a really big, important job. Our service to our community is to keep workers safe so that they can go home to their loved ones each and every day. I can't think of anything bigger that I would like to devote my life to doing. And in my role in particular, my amazing team members provide analytics that help SFM make strategic decisions. They help leaders manage their business and their people, and they help our external stakeholders manage their workers' compensation program. This access and use of data has grown immensely over the last decade or so, and due to technology changes as the primary driver. We're always seeking ways to better harness that data to provide quicker and more accurate information to our stakeholders. So I value both what the workers' compensation industry brings to the community around us, as well as what my role as a, you know, numbers person can provide to our industry and what I provide to our business.
Yeah, that's great. I think, you know, talking about analytics and the numbers and the impact that that can have on a workplace or preventing injuries or getting workers back to work quicker is real. So that data that you're working with, I think can really have a powerful impact on workers' compensation and those workers and employers who have been affected by injuries.
I agree. And I think especially on the claims side, as we see a lot of retirements of our really experienced claims adjusters go through, mm-hmm. we're finding that our newer adjusters really benefit from having access to some of that data and having early indications that they should be pulling in additional resources, whether mm-hmm. that's, you know, a medical view or a legal view into those conversations early on. So there's lots of ways that we're using data.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So I know you talked a little bit about this, but I know that service is very important at SFM. So can you talk about how SFM gives back to the industry and those that are affected by workplace injuries?
I think the coolest way that SFM gives back to the industry is through our foundation, which is affiliated with Kids Chance of America mm-hmm. in both Minnesota and Iowa. The SFM Foundation is dedicated to easing the burden on families affected by workplace accidents. And we provide post-secondary scholarships to children whose parents have been fatally or severely injured in a workplace accident. The coolest thing about that is each scholarship recipient is eligible for up to $15,000 per year for every year that they're in college.
Wow.
And that is a huge lift. It's a huge benefit to those families. Over the last 14 years of our existence, the SFM Foundation has awarded 216 scholarships totaling $3.2 million. So I feel like we've really made an impact there. And I know that we have something really good going because we receive a lot of our donations directly from our competitors and we're uniting over that cause. And it's just such a neat thing to see the industry do that, as well as the majority of the scholarships that we give away aren't on SFM's claims, they're on claims of our competitors. So regardless mm-hmm. of where that claim happened or where that injury happened, we are taking care of those families in our communities. So there's lots of good things going on with that foundation. So I can't give a better example than what our foundation is doing as far as how we give back to the industry.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And, you know, I've known about the work of the SFM Foundation. And I think you brought up something there that I think is really fantastic. It's not about the competition. It's not about your competitors. It's just about helping people who have been impacted negatively by these workplace injuries. And, you know, many of these cases, fatalities, where people who have been so drastically impacted by these workplace injuries and helping them succeed in life, helping them fulfill their dreams of college and, you know, furthering their education is so meaningful and impactful. And I really love that, you know, the SFM Foundation does such great work there and Kids Chance as well. All right, Amanda, thank you so much for talking with me about service and how it has affected you and what SFM is doing to really serve the workers' compensation community and workers who have been injured and their employers. So thank you for joining me today.
It was my pleasure, Heather. Thank you for having me.
My next guest today is Aubrey Chiguada, Director of the Commonwealth of Virginia Office of Workers' Compensation. Aubrey was an IAIABC Next Gen Award winner in 2018. Welcome, Aubrey. It's great to have you here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right, Aubrey. So my first question for you is, can you please tell me how you got your start in the workers' compensation industry?
Sure. So my start was a little different from a lot of people in our industry, in that I actually went and got an undergraduate degree in risk management, although that wasn't my preliminary choice when I went to college. I took an intro to risk management course. It was promised to be an easy B, and if you applied a little effort, potential A. With my GPA needing some assistance, I went ahead and took the risk management course, and I actually really enjoyed it. That led to me taking a couple of more risk management courses, and ultimately changing my major to focusing in finance with a concentration in risk management. Most people stumble into this industry, but I more or less intended to get into it. And I was fortunate enough to get a rotation training program with ESIS after graduation. I was able to spend some time in underwriting, marketing, but I really enjoyed my time on the workers' compensation claim processing side of things. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow, I love that, Aubrey. We don't talk to many people who got into this industry intentionally. That's a great story, though. All right, so can you talk to me a little bit about how service drives your work at the Virginia Office of Workers' Compensation?
Sure. So I base my position on service off of the do unto others as you would have them do for you philosophy. So service to me means meeting people at their point of need with the same energy that I would want someone to meet me with if I were in their shoes. As you said in the intro, you know, our industry was basically set up to respond to people that are facing a very difficult time. During this process, they have concerns about their physical health and well-being, their financial well-being, and taking care of their families. And it can be a very precarious position to be in. So we train our teams to be very empathetic about that core fact. And keep in mind that, you know, you're talking to someone who's quite possibly dealing with the biggest challenge of their working lives, and we need to respond to them with that in mind. My opinion is that our industry best serves employers by returning their employees to work as soon as practical and focusing on improving workplace safety. At the end of the day, employers are looking to run profitable businesses and need their employees at work to do so. That's why they hired them, right? So if we can work together to ensure worker protections are in place for our employees and that, you know, everyone who's involved in the claim, from the nurse case managers to the adjusters, attorneys, if everyone's focused on effective rehab and speedy return to work, I think you're providing great service to both employees and employers at the same time.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. That is so important, that speedy return to work. The sooner that we can get people back to work and everyone who's involved in that worker's case is working toward that end to help them in their time of need, I think that is really important.
Absolutely.
So can you talk a little bit, Aubrey, about what service means to you and then how each of us in our daily lives at work can better serve workers who have been injured?
So workplace safety for Commonwealth employees is at the very top of the list for me. We spend hundreds of hours every month with our state agencies on developing safety policies and procedures, developing training programs for staff, and coming up with different methods of performing work duties that are safer and will likely lead to less injuries happening. We're also accountable to the taxpayers in Virginia whose taxes directly fund our program. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we take that responsibility seriously too. And we want to make sure that the Commonwealth pays for what it owes and vigorously defends a claim that we do not owe. I think that's a big part of the service aspect of our jobs too. You know, in my private sector days, nuisance value settlements were popular and, you know, a lot of the times it made sense. But in my role now with the Commonwealth, with these being public dollars, I don't believe that's a good use of Commonwealth funds. I think it's important to pay what you owe, but it's also important not to pay what you do not owe. Mm-hmm. So there's a combination there between proactively looking to resolve claims, pay the medical bills, pay the lost wages, but also having a strong litigation team that defends claims that you do not owe. Combination of both of those kind of come together to make good customer service, I believe. So we view the state agencies in our program as our clients, and we strive to deliver a high level of customer service to them. Our book of business, so to speak, is quite diverse, from the Department of Corrections and all of their facilities that didn't miss a beat throughout the pandemic, or the state troopers on the highways that were serving and protecting our communities, all the way to the research vessels we have in the Antarctic. It's important for us as the insurer for these programs to understand what they do, understand our clients' needs, and develop individualized service plans to be able to serve those agencies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. And I especially love when you're talking about safety and prevention. The best claim is the one that never happens, right? So if we can prevent those injuries from ever happening at work, that's the best outcome.
Absolutely.
I think that's so important. And that's such a big part of what we do in workers' compensation is that prevention. But when the unfortunate injury does happen, helping those people get back to work quickly. Absolutely. So Aubrey, it was really great talking with you today. Thank you so much for telling me about your approach to service and what it means to you in your work life there at the Virginia Office of Workers' Compensation.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate your time.